The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Question 77, what is required in the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment requireth the maintaining and promoting of truth between man and man, and of our own and our neighbor's good name, especially in witness bearing. Question 78, what is forbidden in the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment forbiddeth whatsoever is prejudicial to truth or injurious to our own or our neighbor's good name. And for our text, turn with me to Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 6, or chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 16, 17, 18, and 19 for our reading, and our text will be verse 19, Proverbs 6, 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we've come to the study of the ninth commandment. The previous three commandments are all what some would might consider rather spectacular commandments in comparison with this commandment. They deal with spectacular sins, murder, adultery, and so on. Lying doesn't seem to be as big of a deal to too many people as those sins, but spectacular is not really a category in which these commandments ought to be considered. The real category that ought to be considered is the seriousness of God's word and the seriousness with which God views his commandments. It's a terrible thing to commit adultery. It's a terrible thing to steal, to kill, but it's also a terrible thing to lie. All of these are sins against God, and the liar comes under the heavy wrath of God, as our text in Proverbs says. It is an abomination to the Lord. Sometimes we treat the sin of lying as something that's just common, and we see it all the time. Turn on the politics on the television. Maybe your income tax is reflection of that, I don't know. Now he's left off preaching and gone to meddling, some might say. But lying, we do it, we see it, it's common. We don't even blink anymore when we recognize it. But when we come to the preaching of the Word of God each Lord's Day, our perspective gets straightened out concerning all of these things, because our perspective has been bent by the world in which we live and the sin that's within our own hearts. Our perspective on these things needs to be straightened out by the Word, hammered back, straightened out by the Word of God. And that's one of the things that we have in the word reformed. We need to be reformed by the Word of God because we continue to be deformed by sin. So much so that we often accept what we see the Word of God saying is sinful, and we just consider it the norm because it's so prevalent. So if we believe that our perspective needs to be shaped by the Word of God, then what does the Word of God say concerning a false witness? Thou shalt not bear false witness. What does the Bible say about lying and liars? Tonight we'll begin to look at a perspective on what the Bible has to say, beginning with Proverbs 6, where in the context of those four verses that we have read, I would remind you that the Lord looks very much so at all of the things that are listed, all seven, and he says they are an abomination. They aren't just the norm. They aren't things that we can just slough off and excuse. because God looks at them and he says they are an abomination to him. That's what God thinks about this matter of lies and liars. He says a false witness who breathes out lies, this is an abomination to him. We can't look at it like we look at so many other things or view it, and we've done this so often that we even now have expressions that we've come to use. One of the favorite ones I like to reiterate and hammer down and remind you it's so false and untrue is, God hates the sin, but he loves the... That sounds so sweet, doesn't it? I always ask the question when I hear that from someone, just a moment, let me ask you one question. Which one does God cast into the eternal pit of hell? Both. The sin and the sinner. God hates the sin and he loves the sinner. That's not a biblical idea unless that sinner is a redeemed sinner, hidden in Jesus, forgiven by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So we have to be careful when we look at these things, and when we look at lying, we need to be careful that we look at it from God's perspective, not our own, because if we look at it from our own perspective, we'll excuse so much that there will hardly be any semblance of truth left. God hates the lying tongue. God hates the false witness. He says so here and in so many other places. And their destiny is to languish in hell for all eternity, according to Scripture. That's where liars stand with God. And it says here that this false witness shall not go unpunished. There is no such thing as a person who goes uncommitted to the willingness to be a liar and goes straight to heaven when he dies. No unrepentant adulterer goes to heaven, according to Scripture. No unrepentant murderer goes to heaven. Praise God. Repentant murderers go there. David did. He was a murderer, but he repented. Unrepentant murderers, unrepentant adulterers, and unrepentant liars have a place in the lake of fire. The only way to be saved is to trust in Jesus, to turn from our sin to the Savior, trusting in his blood alone and believing the truth of the gospel, that he washes away our sins and then turns us into the person who is able to walk in holiness by the power of his grace, is the way in which we must view these things. And that's why we have to take a hard look at why a lie is so bad. Why is a lie so bad? Let me give you three reasons. First of all, a lie is the sin of hypocrisy. By its very nature, it is hypocritical. It is a cover-up. It is what a person doesn't want others to see, and so he puts it out there, and he won't admit to it. He lies. And as we have seen it so often, when you start with a lie, you have to tell another lie to cover up the lie, and then pretty soon all you're doing is lying to keep covering up, and sometimes you never know where you are in that mess. It's a hypocrisy that there is only one escape from, and that is the confession of sin. But a lie is so bad mainly because it has its root in the evil one, in Satan, whom the Scripture tells us is a liar and the father of lies, a liar from the beginning. Eve believed the lie of Satan. Her husband followed her, and the wrath of God then fell upon the whole human race because of the sin that entered the world by means of a lie. Did God really say, when Eve and Adam thereafter believed that lie, sin entered the human race? And God despises the lie because it is the work of the devil and the enemy of God. And when you make a lie a part of your life, you're not serving God, you're serving the enemy. Big lies, all lies, little lies. A lie is a means by which we are joined to the enemy of God. And then thirdly, if it's hypocrisy and it has its roots in Satan, then we have to look at it from the other side, that God is the one who honors the concept of truth. And I think you can summarize the gospel itself in the word truth, the truth that's revealed in God's covenantal word and in his written word, the scripture, the truth that is summarized in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, who went to the cross because the truth had been revealed that God would send a sin bearer for his people. And he came to fulfill that promise and that truth. He came to be the truth, and he came to do the truth. He was faithful to the truth. And you can count on it. If you trust Jesus as your Savior, he will give you his perfect righteousness because it's revealed in the Word of God and it's true. God cannot lie. Have you ever asked that question? Is there anything God cannot do? I can give you a whole list of things he can't do. Lying is one of those things. Because if by definition God could lie, then by definition he wouldn't be God. You know, you're mixing your categories. He can't lie. He is truth. The lie is of the enemy. And your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in your willingness to stand for truth or to compromise it and serve the lie. And it demonstrates that your so-called allegiance is merely hypocrisy. Well, what are some of the ways in which this commandment is broken? Well, every departure from truth, of course, is a means by which we break this command, this call to be preservers of the truth. Every departure from the truth, coloring the truth, twisting the truth, tinkering with the truth, however you want to call it or however you want to describe it, when you depart from the truth, you are despising God because God is the truth. Direct disobedience is a means by which this commandment is broken. And the scripture, by the case laws, and we've looked at the case laws as they explain and apply these commandments. One of the case laws in Deuteronomy applies this commandment to the court system and to the court system in which a person is giving testimony, and it says that if you commit perjury, you've broken this commandment. You can look at that in Deuteronomy 19. Because the law appointed against perjury, as well as all of the other judicial laws, condemns the person who does not speak the truth. And if you penalize a person for doing good, you're twisting and you're perverting the truth. So the law works both ways. You are to preserve the truth. You're not to twist the truth. You are to guard the truth. And people use the truth and the lie, and they try to blend them and they try to mix them. And the only reason they do that is to accomplish their own sinful purposes. We see that in the political realm. We see it in personal relationships. We see it in our world today. Our world today says that truth and the lie are relative. In other words, there's no fixed definition. You can use them any way you want to, whether it's truth or a lie. Just use it for accomplishing your purposes to advance your good. If a lie serves you, tell a lie, because you're advancing your own personal cause. Boy, if that were the case, I'd lie like a rug on my income tax, but I can't do it because this commandment forbids it. But if I was to take the philosophy of the world, boy, would I do well on my income tax. I wouldn't be paying a penny. I'd be skating, I'd lie, because the world says lie, bend, twist, modify the truth. However you want, let it serve your own purpose. That's not God's concept of truth. That's the world's concept of truth. God's concept of truth is to bless what is right and righteousness. And therefore the Christian must bear witness to the truth of God and believe that God will bless that in his life. Now, if that's true, then we need to practice the truth in all of the areas of our lives, even the little areas of our lives. If I always tell the truth, Will I lose friends? Well, what are you depending on for your friendship? The blessing of God or the manipulation of the truth and error, which means you're depending really on the enemy? Are you maintaining relationships on the basis of fabrications and lies, or are you building those relationships on truth? In the business realm, we talk about income tax, but in business practices, you don't need to shade the truth to get along. You need to rely wholly and completely on the blessing of God. I don't know how it works exactly in the agricultural world, but I know this, that they have dryers for a reason. They want to get all of the moisture out of that grain, because when it goes to be weighed, they don't want the moisture. They're not paying for water. And, you know, well, if it's got a little bit in there, no. You're fudging the truth. Fudging the truth. Shading the truth. Whether it's the elevator and corn and grain, whether it's income tax, whether it's telling the truth so that you tell it plainly as the Word of God commands, we are called to be truth bearers in this world. We are to be families and family members in the church that's built on truth. Parents in a Christian home will be honest with their children, because truth is the responsibility of the home and the foundation of it. And we need to teach our young people and our generations to come about the truth of God's word in every realm, whether it's the realm of their sexuality. We need to tell them the truth of what God has to say, that male is male and female is female, and that God has ordained marriage to be the marriage of a man and a woman, and that marriage is to be pure and to be kept pure, and we are to remain pure. We need to teach that truth to our children, because God judges unrepentant individuals in these areas. Scripture is clear, and Scripture is honest in all of these areas. It teaches a morality that God expects from His people, and that's what we need to build into the lives and into the hearts of our children and into the homes of our church and into the world in which we go. We need to stand for what's right and what God has commanded in His word. So we keep this commandment by loving the truth. That's what this passage ultimately leads us to. If God hates these things, then we should love the truth. And loving the truth begins with a clear love and a clear appreciation for the sound doctrine of the teaching of the Word of God, because you're not going to find the truth in any other place. The idea of truth is a distinctive Christian concept. Even Pontius Pilate didn't know it. He said, "What is truth?" And here he was a Roman official and a leader and didn't really comprehend what truth was until he met the one who was the way, the truth, and the life in person. The Christian understands that there is the truth, and that that truth is the Word of God. And the teaching of His word and the central truth of God's word is Jesus Christ crucified for sinners. We need to be honest with the world in which we live. Today it's so popular to say, sadly so, even in some formerly faithful denominations, there are those who would say there are different ways to God. And I've seen in print where some authors have said that a Buddhist, and now I would suppose he would say the Muslim and the Hindu Sikh religion, and he lists all of these religions, and his conclusion was each of them with Christianity is a path to God. That's not true. That's a lie. That's a fabrication. That's not what God's word teaches. If we're going to be faithful to God's word, we need to speak to our world and tell them that there is but one way to come to know God, and through Jesus Christ is the appointed way that we find in the Word of God. And because Jesus Christ came and lived and died and is the truth incarnate, You and I can live and die in that truth. We have a firm foundation because we have the truth that God has revealed in the person of His only Son. And that's the message our world needs. And if we then follow that message as believers in God's Word, understanding the truth of the doctrine of Scripture as it's focused upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, then as a Christian you can pray, Lord, bring this tongue of mine under the truth, that it may speak truth. Bring this mind of mine under the truth of your word, that I might think things that are right and good. Let my actions towards others be marked by truth in the way that I live out your word, and help me by your grace to live in accordance with the truth that's found in Jesus Christ, because I depend for time and for eternity upon the truth that you've revealed in your word. And when you begin to look at it that way, and when you begin to think as one who preserves the truth, who lives the truth, and speaks the truth, and believes the truth, then others around you will begin to see that you are marked by the truth of God as it's found in His word, and that they too will be able to find that truth through the message that you bear to them and through the truth of Scripture, that they may hear it from you is the desire of God as He sends us forth, and that they may know the truth, and that they may hear it as a sinner and be brought to Jesus Christ as Savior is the desire of the hearts of God's people. So we are to reach out to this dying world as dying men with a message that Jesus died and rose again for sinners and has provided in Himself the way of salvation, that there is no other way, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than Jesus. And that is the truth that we bear to this world. And if that's all true, then we cannot for a moment turn to the lie. We must follow the truth, because it's in the truth that we have everlasting life, the truth that's in Jesus Christ. God says that there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him, and one of those things is a false witness, the direct violation of this ninth commandment. We are to hold to the truth of God's word, to be bearers of the truth, testify to the truth, live for our neighbor's good, and bear a true message to this world. God has called us to that. That's His gift of grace to us, and by His Spirit He equips us for that task, so that we might live for Him. To Him be the glory, who is the way, the truth, and the life, now and forever. Amen.